bear a witness. And that was the problem that the Israelites had, because they wanted to see God and God didn't want to be seen. But God told his disciple, he said, Thomas, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Can I say to the church, I don't have to see the womb in his side to believe that Jesus is Lord. I don't have to see the holes in his hands to believe that he is Lord. I take by faith in my hope that he is everything the word of God say he is, and in that I have great expectations. We about to move. Now listen at this. He goes on into the third verse and he talks about tribulation. Now somewhere along the way, people begin to tell folks, when you come to the church, you won't have no more problems. They begin to tell people in the church, when you come to the church, there'll be no more sufferings. But they forgot to tell you, last week my life got cut off. They forgot to tell you, last week they came and picked up my car. They forgot to tell you, yesterday I got fired off my job. And so what am I saying? Even though they said that, they lied, because we who are in Christ have the same problems that we have when we're out of Christ. But the only thing that we have that they don't have, we have access to him. So what that means, if they come and get your new car, God gonna send somebody that gonna have access to where it is and bring it back to who it belongs. Can I get a witness? I'm not telling you that you're not going to have no problems. You're going to have some problems. But what I'm telling you, you are connected to a God that have all the answers to all your problems. Now listen, when we think about tribulations, we think about physical hardship, suffering and distress. And what it is saying, when I go through tribulation, that's something I can't sleep through. That's something that I gotta wake up and I gotta feel the pain. That's something that I gotta go through. I got to feel the abuse. What are you trying to say, preacher? Sometimes the one that say they love you gonna hurt your feeling. What are you saying, preacher? Sometimes the ones that say they got your back gonna be the one that give you the knife in your back. What are you saying?
Is evidence that we're running. Hope you enjoy our pastor's message. I'm Brother Michael Williams. Thank you for listening. We pray you were enlightened spiritually by our radio broadcast. If you would like a copy of our service or support us by donation, write us at Bethany Ministry Center, P.O. Box 6764, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307, or call us at 318-561-0064 and leave a message. Join us next Saturday at 12:15 p.m.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana.
Now, you say, what are some specific uses of my time? I'm going to tell you, the Bible really lays out some specific things on how we're supposed to spend our time. It's actually in the Word. I'm just going to give you just a few of them here. First, spend time in prayer. Sometimes you got extra time. Now, I know most of us have to work. We go to work for a set time. Well, you're supposed to be faithful while you're there. You're supposed to do a good job. You're not supposed to be the worst one on the job. You know, when I got saved, my pastor told us, saying, now, look, y'all saved. You got the Holy Ghost. You ought to be the smartest person in the class. You have the ability to learn. You got the Holy Ghost helping you. You shouldn't be the dumb one. And then I believed that. I said, well, I got God in me. That ought to make me smarter. And you can look at my transcript. My grades did go up. I did get smarter. And the Lord did teach me how to study. Because I was so hungry for God, all I wanted to do was read my Bible. But I knew if all I did was read my Bible, I was going to flunk out. So I prayed one night and I said, Lord, if you'll help me learn this material, I'll have more time to spend reading and praying and talking to you. I said, would you do that? I said, I really don't want to do this schoolwork. I really want to be with you. But I got to learn it. You want me to do good. Would you help me understand this so I have more time to spend with you? And you know what? God obliged me. Then he told me what to do. He said, now, read the chapter that you're studying. Just read it. Don't try to comprehend anything. Just read it. So I did that. He gave me a strategy. He said, now just read it. He said, now I want you to read it the second time, and this time I want you to read it for comprehension. And the second time through, it's like light bulbs start turning on. Oh, I understand. Yeah, that makes sense. I understand. I know that. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. And stuff come like 2 + 2. God showed me that if you want to be with him, he wants to be with you. And he will do whatever he has to do to make a way for you to spend more time with him. See, it was all about how I was managing my time. I knew I just couldn't neglect my studies, but I said, Lord, it's taken me hours to learn. I think I had to study 3 times harder than anybody else. But not after I got saved. Jesus makes a difference in your life. So you got to spend time seeking him and fellowshipping to get to know him better. Seeking God's will, seeking his destiny, his plan for your life. What's your assignment? If you don't know your assignment in life, then you're an easy target to abuse your time. Second thing, you need to spend time watching. The scripture says, take heed, watch and pray. The most significant definition of the word take heed, it means to give strict attention to be cautious and active. It means to watch, to take heed, lest through remission and indolence, some destructive calamity suddenly overtake you. See, if you're watchful, you just spend time praying. So watching and praying go together. While you're praying, you listen, you watch, you start seeing things. You start seeing how the devil coming. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a place in God where I'm going to tell you, there ain't no blind spots. Because the Holy Spirit is your eyes and your ears. And he'll warn you and he'll prepare you. What he was showing me, I had natural eyes and his spiritual eyes. When he says watch, that word watch means to see. It means to observe. It means to look at intently. He's not talking about just watching, got your eyes open. He's talking about really look and see what's going on around you. Because he will show you what's going on. I'm going to tell you, it all has to do with your time. If you don't have time to watch, you ain't got time to see. Tell your neighbor, say, if you ain't got time to watch, you don't have time to see nothing. That's right. I'm telling you the truth right now. The scripture says, in Mark chapter 13, it says, when you see the signs of the time, know that Jesus' return and the gathering together of his saints is near. When he said, take heed, it means to see, to have sight, to look upon, to gaze at. Metaphorically, that word take heed means to see with the mind's eye, to have understanding, to discern mentally, to observe, to perceive, to discover, to understand, to turn the thoughts or direct the mind to a thing, to contemplate, to look at, to weigh carefully. That means so when I'm watching, I'm weighing things carefully. I'm contemplating things. I'm thinking about them. I'm looking at them. But if you ain't got time to pray, see, some of your time should be invested in prayer. You got an extra hour. You got off early today. You know how sometimes you get off early and you say, what am I going to do? Am I going to Target, Walmart, Sam's Club? Got an hour. You waiting on something to happen. You got an hour, and you're wondering what you're going to do with that. What am I going to do with this extra hour I got? You have an opportunity to do something good. But what do most people do? I got an hour to burn. What that mean? I got an hour to waste. I got a day to waste. I'm off Friday. I got a day to waste. So what am I going to do? Nothing. You're going to be held accountable for that hour. Because the Holy Ghost, if you're listening, then told you what to do with it. Praise the Lord. Spend time walking in love. Let me say something about Mark chapter 13, verse 34, talking about watching and praying. Verse 34 says, the Son of Man gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch, lest he return to find you sleeping. Sleep in the scripture always represents a state of idleness or death. The literal translation of that word means to drop off to sleep, to yield to sloth and sin. So when you yield to laziness and God asks you to do something, or you got an assignment from God and you got a call and you know what it is and you're in pursuit of it and you neglect it, it's just like you're going to sleep on the job. You might be doing a lot of other stuff, but you sleep on the job. You got to take advantage of those times. That's the opportunity that God give you. All right? The next one is you got to spend time walking in love. That's your primary purpose. It's the royal law of liberty, and it fulfills the law. Turn over to Romans chapter 13. Let me go down through this one here real quick. In Romans 13, I'm going to tell you this is a guidebook right here. In Romans 13, this is such a powerful chapter. Tells you how to live. Let's start at verse 8. Verse 8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves another hath fulfilled the law. So love is very important. You have to spend time caring about other people. You have to spend time make sure you walk in love. He said, for this... Listen, he said, if you walk in love, you will not commit adultery, you will not kill, you will not steal, you will not bear false witness or give a false testimony about somebody, you won't lie on people, you will not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill, no harm, no evil, no wickedness, no destruction to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, know what time you live in. How many of you know we're living in an evil day? You know that the days are evil. Lots of evil going on in the world. He says, know that now it is high time to do what? To awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. When he says it is high time, he's saying at this very hour. That's the urgency. He said, knowing that we live in bad times, he said at this very hour, because that's what this means. At high time means right now, at this hour. He said, wake up. Because your redemption is drawing close. You're closer than when you first believed to Jesus' return. And then he gives some more instruction. Listen to this here. This is so good. Look at verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He said, make sure that you spend your time walking in the love of God. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, look at verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling fragrance. But fornication and all uncleanness. Y'all know what fornication is? It's not fornification. I've heard people say, you better stop that fornication. No, the word is fornication. It comes from the word porneo, which is where we get the word pornography. So when you see fornication, that word takes in all kinds of sexual sin. Pornography, sex with relatives, sex with animals, same sex, sex with opposite sex outside of marriage, any sexual activity outside of marriage, it's fornication. Look at what he says here. But fornication and all uncleanness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. So you ain't supposed to spend your time fornicating. A lot of people spend time doing that, fooling with pornography. You ain't supposed to spend your time with that stuff. Neither filthiness, that's having to do with your mind. Filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, that's unclean jokes, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know. See, you're supposed to know some stuff. This Church of Jesus Christ, right? You're supposed to know some things. What do you know? This is what I know. That no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. He said, don't participate. Don't get involved when people get involved in these type things. For you were at one time darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You say, Pastor, what this got to do with this message? Everything. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. That means that how you spend your time, you ought to spend your time doing things that are pleasing and acceptable to God. Developing those gifts that you got in you. And then walking in love, you can't neglect your spiritual life. See, a lot of people want to develop gifts, go to all these seminars and all these training schools, and they're getting educated, they're educating their mind, and their spirit is a puny wimp. Got no spiritual strength. You ask them to pray, and they can't even pray. You ask them to bless a meal, and they can't even bless a meal properly. Think about it. People of high society, big brilliant minds, people changing the world, and can't even pray a blessing because they neglected the most important part because their time is spent on earthly things. These things are important. Look at this. Look at the next verse. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know what the word reprove means? It means to expose it. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That means to refute. Listen, it doesn't mean getting up shouting in front of everybody and say, he's sinning! Because we can shout back at you and say, you sinning! Because ain't nobody perfect. Ain't talking about you just pointing out somebody and say, they sinning! Because then somebody could point back at you and say, you sinning too. What he's saying is the definition of the word reprove, it means by conviction to bring to the light, to expose, to find fault with, to show one his fault, to demand an explanation of them. That means that when you reprove somebody, you do it in love. But listen to this. See, by conviction to bring something to the light. See what that lady did in Kentucky when she refused to sign those marriage certificates? She's living by a conviction. So she brought to the light that that was a sinful lifestyle and she wasn't going to have nothing to do with it. Now the world going to criticize her. Oh, they want to fire and hang up, put her in jail, all of that. But by her conviction, she just stood by her conviction. And it brought to the light that that's not right. Now, people don't want to listen to that because now they done turned that into a right. And if you don't agree with it, then you're in the minority and you're a hater. I'm a hater. I hate sin, but I love people. What done happened to us that we can't say that's a sin? What's wrong? What's wrong? Amen? Look at verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which have done of them in secret. For all things that are reproved are manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, now here's the sum of it. He said this, awake thou that sleepest, talking to believers, and arise from the dead, from a state of inactivity, and Christ shall what? Shall give you light. He'll shine upon you. See then, now here's the song. See then that you walk circumspectly. How? Not as fools, but as wise, doing what? Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So you see, the sum of all that he say now, make sure that you redeem the time. That means take time back. Sometimes we've given time to the wrong things. He said to redeem it, buy it back. That means cut off all that stuff that's stealing your time. Redeem your time. Take it back and then use it for noble purposes. Am I against you being educated and being smart? Absolutely not. I've been to many training classes. I've been to many leadership classes. Been to seminars. You know, IP sent me a lot of places to be educated. Wasn't nothing wrong with that, but I didn't neglect my spirit at the expense of my head. Amen. Right? Hallelujah. The Amplified Bible says, make the most of the time, buying up each opportunity. The New Living says, make the most of every opportunity. So God expects you to use the time because time is a gift that he's given to you. And I'll tell you what, when God dispensed time, he gave everybody the same amount. A rich man ain't got no more time than you got. A poor man ain't got no more time than you got. You know what I'm talking about? An educated man have no more time than you got. Everybody's given the same amount of time. It's what you decide to do with it that makes all the difference. If you'll see God, he'll tell you how to use your time. Because we think time is ours, but time ultimately belongs to God. Because I can't make one day. I can't make a half a day. I can't even make an hour. I can't even make a second. Time belongs to God. So what's the sum, Pastor? I'm telling you this. Identify the time stealers in your life and eliminate them. Redeem the time. What is taking a time away from your pursuit of God's will? Or what's taking time away from the gift that God's put in you? If you've been gifted to be a speaker, to be an attorney, or you got just a gift to be able to speak, what are you doing to develop that? What's your passion? What are you passionate about? What are you doing? How are you spending your time maximizing whatever gift God's given you? You should maximize it. You shouldn't let opportunity pass you, because sometimes that's what a kairos moment is. It is a specific time, a specific moment, a specific place. And let me tell you, kairos moments are not eternal. Sometimes opportunity comes and they are there for a short time and then the door closes and you miss it. You can miss a kairos moment. If you're not careful and diligent about managing your time, first of all, you won't even recognize when the door opened. Door can open up and you be, I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to pray about it. I got to pray. You know why you got to pray? Because you ain't prayed in 2 weeks. But if you stay prayed up, You spend time with God, he'll tell you about what's fixing to happen before it happened. So when the moment comes, you're there to seize it. That's what happened with me and Pastor Cece one time. We was just fasting and praying, just trying to get close to God for a whole month, just me and her. I said, Cece, let's fast this month. Okay. We're going to do just 30 minutes a day. Okay. So we pray together for 5 or 10 minutes, and I said, well, let's pray in the Holy Ghost now. And I'd hang the phone up. I was on my lunch break. I'd go find me a place out in the mill somewhere and pray. Couldn't pray in my office, too many people. So I'd find me a place where I was free from distraction. I wouldn't have but 15 or 20 minutes to pray, but I'd pray in the Holy Ghost. After about 20 days of doing that, one day I took a personal holiday. We was getting ready to have some personal business to tend to, and we was getting ready to walk out the door. It was almost 12 o'clock, and I remembered the commitment we made to God. I said, no, let's go back in. Let's do this after we finish praying. We told God we're going to give him 30 minutes. Let's keep our word to him. And we sat down, we prayed in the Holy Ghost for about 20 minutes. I was watching my watch. I'll just tell you the truth. I was watching my watch. It's about 20 minutes down. I said, well, got 10 more minutes. And we had stopped praying. It got real quiet. And I was just sitting in a chair, just being quiet, just praising God, you know, just thanking God, just listening. And then the Lord started talking to me about Cece, about a door, an opportunity that was coming to her. And so I shared it with her. And then that the door God opened was so, in her mind, no way that's going to happen. God gonna have to do that because of the situation, the circumstance we was in. But you know what? In about 2 or 3 months, that door opened. Out of courtesy, I say, well, we need to pray about it. But our prayer was a prayer of thanksgiving. It wasn't a prayer, should we? Already knew. Amen. I said, Caesar, that's it. I told you. That's it right there. And she knew it. It's bearing witness with our spirit. That's it right there. That's what God told us 3 months ago. I told you it was going to happen. He did it. And you didn't have to try to make nothing happen. He did it on his own. He did it. God don't need your help opening no doors. He does not need your assistance to get a door open. All he needs is your cooperation to just follow him every day. And then put him on your calendar. Put him in your schedule. We got room in our schedule for everything except God. The most important things, the things that are really weighty, we give the least amount of emphasis. Like reading your Bible, praying, being consistent in church. You know, doing those things that you know you're supposed to be doing, you need to put a big weight on them and say, this is weighty. I'm going to give my time to this. And God will only lead you to do things that are going to bring blessing back to you. Because he rewards those who diligently seek him. Listen, the scripture is set. You ain't big enough to break it. You can't break the scripture. If he said he rewards those that diligently seek it, everybody that don't want you rewarded better get out the way. Because they can't stop it from coming. It's going to happen because he said it. I'm telling you. Identify, what's your time stealers? What's stealing your time from you? What's taking it from you? Social media. Video games. Hobbies. Television. There could be hundreds of things that could steal your time. See, Satan don't care what it is. As long as you're not spending the time with God doing something that's going to push you further in your destiny with God, he don't care what it is. Listen, I love tennis. I ain't played in a long time, but when I was younger, I tell you, all it would take one time on tennis court, and I was hooked again. But you know what? I never let my prayer time neglect because I had to go play tennis. That was done after I did everything else. For all the single people here, you get off from work, you got your whole evening, you got no children, you got your afternoon. I'm going to tell you, I know you have things that you have to do, but why not give God first 30, 40 minutes of your afternoon? Spend some time with him. And then ask him, is there anything I can do for you today? I got all this time left. Can I help you? Is it something you want me to do? Don't be scared to do it. That's what I did.